Recovery 101, yeah, with your hosts Bruce, Shelley, and Mark. They want to talk with you, joke with you, and tell you the facts. They want to see you in recovery, working those steps, and when you're through, they want to chat with you. Put down the jack in the crack, and take a step on back, and go to a meeting, and keep coming back, and then tune to recovery101.net. And when you're through, they want to joke with you.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
Thank you to Courtney for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for anybody else besides ourselves.
No 12-step programs.
No 12-step programs, none of the A's. None of the smarts, none of the RRs, none of nobody.
Yeah, if you've got a collection of alphabets, we're not speaking for you.
Yeah, we don't speak for them. That includes other things, NSA, TSA, NBA, KFC. We don't speak for any of them. No. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always, with...
Shelley.
And Mark.
Yay.
Hey.
All right.
Yo.
Shelley's looking at us like, what the frick is going on?
Once again,
the boys are backing down.
Yeah. Once again, I'm wondering what you guys are drinking.
And the boys are back in town. That's, you know who does that song? Do you remember that song?
Yes, I do. And I...
The Bus Boys.
Okay.
Yes. I
couldn't remember.
It is the Bus Boys. You know what I heard the other day?
What'd you hear the other day?
The Bird. Do you remember the bird? Morris Day and the Bird?
Oh, that bird.
Morris Day and the Time?
Yes.
How you do ya? Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Wow.
There was a hilarious line in that song. White folks, you're not too tight. Yeah. You got to put your hands in the air like a black folk. You might get something tonight.
Yeah. I love those guys. They're still, you know what? It's one of those bands that had like, they had that and they had a song called Jungle Love. My Jungle Love.
No.
What?
You didn't know the best song.
What?
Then apparently, Chili Sauce.
Chili Sauce?
Yes, because the whole song, he's talking about chili sauce, but it's apparent the way he's talking about sex.
Well,
you should look it up. It's funny.
You know what? I'm going to. But I saw a video of them, like, they're still doing shows. I mean, this was hot back, like, when Purple Rain by Prince came out, you know, a long time ago. And it's the same guys. All of them look like the same guys doing the exact same songs, and they still sound great. I'm like, I'd go see them. And you look at the audience, it's one of those shows where everyone in the audience is, like, doing the Bird. Audience participation.
Okay.
You know what that means?
What?
It's time to do the Bird. Well, it's time. Mark's over here doing the Bird. It's time for the boozy news, and the news not fit for booze. That was really low, Mark. What happened?
Really?
Yeah.
He was doing the bass doo-doots. Okie dokie. Now, I was sent this story, and I forget, or maybe I found this on FARC.
F-A-R-K.
K.com. Yes.
Great stories there.
There's a newspaper in the Midwest that has started doing a feature, a weekly feature, or a daily feature called the Collection Feature. They feature people that have interesting collections of things.
Okay.
And I looked at the headline and the little blurb about what the story was about, and I thought, wow, that could really go sideways real fast.
Because I got a collection of newcomer chips.
Yeah.
The world's greatest collection of newcomer chips.
Because think about all the weird crap that people collect. And immediately, I was not disappointed.
Share with us.
Because their collector for that day was Kevin Knox. He claims that he's a writer and film critic. Maybe, I don't know. I've never heard of him. He collects Pez dispensers.
I've seen that before. Not him specifically, but
He
which is from O.J. Simpson, who creates Pez collectors, Pez dispensers.
Oh, okay. Yikes.
Yikes.
He owns 2,240 Pez dispensers.
Wow.
That's a lot of Pez. Along with various Pez, you know, merchandise and advertising
signs
things and whatever. And I'm reading this story about all these different Pez things he has. And he says that his wife is really into it, too. That she points out Pez things for him to collect. And the thing I found humorous about the whole story is that he got into collecting Pez because he just needs to collect something, and he used to collect comic books, but it got too expensive.
I would think Pez dispensers, after a while, get expensive.
Yeah, he's talking about $800 Pez dispensers in the story.
Yeah. He was collecting really expensive comics.
$800 Pez dispensers.
Yes, some of the ones that were available like 30, 40 years ago are now apparently worth almost a grand.
That he's bought them at that price, or just
one man's trash?
Yeah,
is another man's treasure.
Because
that's like the
dispenser.
That's like the $250 Beanie Babies.
Yes,
they're only worth what somebody's willing to pay you for.
I'll give you an example. My sponsor collects straight razors. He has a ton of straight razors.
Well, some of them might have nice handles.
He doesn't display them. They're like in boxes. I mean, you know.
Oh, this guy displays them. He's got a whole room.
Yeah, you'd have to.
He's got a Pez room.
Yes, he has
a Pez room. He's got 2,000 of them.
Wow. And I thought collecting rocks was weird.
Collecting rocks is weird.
Well,
unless it's diamonds.
Yeah.
I don't collect them anymore. Now I just collect books. Let us see.
Yeah, that according to last week's Boozy News, have all kinds of cocaine in them.
That's true. I probably got at least a quarter gram in my crap room.
You can start the books on fire.
Be smoking.
And he's smoking.
In California, Gary Hesterberg is suing San Mateo County.
For
violation, what he's claiming is violation of his Fourth Amendment rights, as well as battery. And the circuit court could not decide his case, so it's headed off to
remind me the Fourth
trial.
Amendment?
Unlawful search and seizure. Okay. Protection against unlawful search and seizure. He was on the outdoor trail running, jogging with his dog, the Rancho Corral de Tierra trail. And he was stopped by a park ranger for not leashing his dog. Mm-hmm. He immediately put the leash back on the dog, but apparently he didn't put it on fast enough for the park ranger, who then tased him. And he has
tased
a heart condition.
Ooh.
Yes. The.
I'm surprised the dog let that happen.
She was trying to. What happened was he's putting the leash on the dog. She starts giving him a warning, you can't have your dog unleashed in the park, blah, blah, blah. And then he was saying okay, and he was going to try and walk away, and she said, you can't leave. And she then tried to detain him, and he claimed that that was unlawful detainment. She pulls her tase gun out. He informed her he had a heart condition, and she shot him anyway.
Oh.
So he's kind of lucky to be alive, to be able to sue.
That's
going to
be a he said, she said. She's going to say he didn't say anything about a heart condition. Yeah,
he tried to run.
I tried to detain him, and he tried to take off. But you said the court could not decide
I mean, the taser for the dog off the leash seems a little
A little over the top.
Yeah, that's a bit much. Especially when he immediately leashed the dog, listened to her lecture, and then
so if he tries to steal something from that state park he's in, does she just shoot him?
I don't know. Actually, there was a witness in the story. It says there was a witness. John Bartlett was a witness to it.
Oh my God, I went to high school with him.
Oh my God.
I did.
What are the chances?
That'd be weird if it was him.
All the lands.
He said that he's never seen anything like it, and he didn't know if the guy was dying, and he thought it was ridiculous that he got tased just for not putting his leash on his dog fast enough.
Wow. Yeah, you got a witness like that. You got a pretty good case.
The circuit court wouldn't hear it because they said that summary judgment in excessive force cases should be granted sparingly, so it needed to go to trial.
Makes sense.
Here's a sad story. California, the Metrolink, Southern California Metrolink, every year for the last, 5 years, 7 years or whatever, They've done something called the Holiday Toy Express, mm-hmm. where the train goes all through all the stops, has like 50,000 twinkle lights on it. Mm-hmm. Kids get toys. Santa comes. It's a big, huge deal. We had it actually stopped in Covina last year. It was really awesome. Mm-hmm. It's been canceled this year.
Why?
Well, they didn't say exactly why, but they need to close a budget gap.
Oh, Jerry Brown.
Because, you know, it costs $269,000 to run the Holiday Toy Express.
Jerry Brown.
They are looking for corporate sponsors, and they say that at this moment, it looks like the train may return in 2014 if they get enough sponsors.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Somebody, Mattel or Pepsi or Coca-Cola or someone like that, it's going to turn into the...
Union Pacific Railroad.
It's going to turn into something.
Very sad.
It should. That'd be great publicity for some. We should buck up for it.
Yeah.
$269,000 chicken feed.
Just if Bruce's check would get here.
Yeah. Yeah. If the Gazette guy's check would get here, we could sponsor for the next 12 years.
Well, he said it was in the mail.
4 years ago.
This is the extreme outrage story of the week. Maryland.
Oh, I'm already pissed off. I haven't even heard it yet.
This is in Maryland. Under Maryland law, you know, when you have the picture camera things at intersections that take a picture of you, if you're violating, you get a ticket, camera tickets. According to state law, that money that they get from those automated ticket things can only be used for, for public safety purposes, including pedestrian safety programs. That's it. However, this year, they used the money, and this is why it's a bone of contention and the voters are all up in arms. They used that money to order 9 new taser guns, to purchase 8 Glocks, and...
Glocks?
Yeah, Glocks. And to purchase, they spent $12,083 on a mobile device that their officers can use in the field to crack passwords and grab all the data from mobile phones as they're out in the field passing... by. They can just grab all your data off of your mobile phone, including pictures, texts, videos, and contact lists.
Wow.
I'm so outraged, I don't even know what to say. That's just wrong on so many levels.
They make a device like that?
Yeah.
And we can get it for how much?
$12,083.
Okay, thanks.
But, call me crazy, but didn't we just go through a huge privacy scandal in the administration, and now the state of Maryland wants to just go around willy-nilly grabbing people's mobile phone data?
Yeah, that could be an issue.
That's an issue. The voters are justifiably upset about this, I think.
They're pissed.
Yeah.
Well, for two reasons. A, you're not supposed to be spending that money on that in the first place, and B, you shouldn't be buying an item like that in the first place, in the second place, in the first place, whichever place.
True. And here's another lovely little outrage stories. In California, authorities have shut down 10 fake Obamacare websites. People going onto those websites, people are actually able to get onto those websites and sign up for health care. Unfortunately,
they're trying to grab information.
All of their information is going to hackers who, you know, because when you sign up for that, you have to give them your taxpayer ID. You've got to get basically the keys to the kingdom. Mm-hmm. So they're signing up for this stuff. These people have all their information. Can you say identity theft on a grand scale?
Wow.
And I saw a picture of one of the front of one of those fake websites.
Yeah, it looks perfect.
Just like the covered California website. So how do you know when you're signing up for that? How do you know that you're on the right website if you get redirected and you don't know it? Yeah.
Oh, I guarantee it'll look... Matter of fact, there's a lot of websites like that that if you click like the FAQ... it'll take you to the right FAQ for the California site. And if you hit the back button to go back where you were, you will actually be on the spoof site. I want to know...
Once again, the continuation of a good idea.
I want to know... Well, I want to know something.
What do you want to know?
Google gets hit every day by, like... The amount of hits Google gets, it's, like, staggering. It's, like, 280 billion times a day.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't we just go to a company like Google and say, hey, can you make this website for us? We go to some... First of all, we go to a foreign country.
You're trying to make sense of this.
Well, I, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, and we're bordering on, and we're going to end up talking about politics, and we don't do that.
Well, it's
Shelley, you can't be the politic police.
It's not. It's not politics. It's internet stuff. I used to work for an internet company. We had a we went to change our DNS numbers. We needed to be able to make sure 5 million people, if they all clicked in at the same time, they could do it. They made the site ready to hit take 50 million hits, and we got hit like 600,000 times or something. But we were ready for 50 million.
Plus, Shelley, we were talking about healthcare.
I'm just talking about internet sites,
not politics.
I'm just talking about internet sites.
All right.
But isn't it interesting how healthcare has become so political?
Yes.
Mm.
Okay, we're quickly running out of time here, so we need to
we're
get
trying to run the
stories.
Clock out. So
no, we don't want to run the clock out because we've got more stories.
Oh,
okay.
Okay, go ahead.
In the category of people who don't yet haven't yet figured out that they're completely irrelevant, Madonna is demanding that Russian President Vladimir Putin release 30 Greenpeace members that were jailed after they tried to seize an oil rig and
idea.
Protest.
Where were they going to take it to?
I don't know.
Actually, see, now that kind of thing is, that's actually a problem. I mean, going to seize an oil rig, I'm imagining you're going to be holding people captive if you seize the oil rig.
So anyway, these 30 members are now being detained in St. Petersburg on hooliganism charges. And apparently
hooliganism.
Apparently in Russia,
they're playing soccer in the ocean? What the hell's going on?
In Russia, you can get 7 years.
For being a hooligan?
Labor for being a hooligan.
Wow. That's...
But the fact that Madonna has called on him to release these
he'll
people...
Do it right
clearly,
away.
It's going to happen right now. Yeah. I think it's cute.
If only Ricky Martin would jump on that as well, it'd be a done deal.
I just think it's adorable that she thinks she still has any kind
that
of,
kind of
credibility
pull?
Or pull in the world at all.
I don't think there's any stars that have that kind of pull.
No.
Bring Robert Redford in with her.
Who was it? Rodham? Didn't he go and talk to the North Koreans or something? Rodham?
Yeah. He's BFF with the president of North Korea.
Oh, perfect.
The dictator or whatever the hell he is.
Okay, we got to get to one more story.
Okay.
In Michigan... a man named Alan Markovitz. He's 59 years old. He owns a string of strip clubs.
I like this guy.
Sweet.
He's done all sorts of interesting things. He opened his first strip club on 8 Mile, in Detroit, in the 80s. He's been shot twice, once in the face.
Ooh, ouch.
There was a mob contract on his life. He was sued by some of his exotic dancers. And he once had one of his girlfriends drive her car through the front door of one of his clubs because she was pissed. So he's had some interesting stuff happen to him in his life.
Oh, so she did it. He didn't, like, have her do it. Like, say, hey, will you please drive your car through the front of my club?
Right.
So I can collect insurance money.
Just wanted to get it done.
Well, he recently got a divorce.
No shit.
He was married for a few years to a woman who... The divorce... He claims that he's over her.
Named Candy.
No,
K.
Her name is
C-A-N-D-I.
Yeah, Candy with a K.
No. Where is her name? Holy crap. It's in the story.
Candy samples?
Her name is Lenka Tuohi.
What?
Oh, no, that's the daughter. Leah Tuohi. Leah Tuohi is the name of the woman that he was married to. She was not one of his dancers or anything like that. They were married for a few years. They got a divorce. He claims he's completely over her. And yet, he bought his new house right next door to her. And then erected a gigantic
sculpture.
Bronze, 12-foot-high bronze sculpture that he's put giant spotlights on of a hand flipping her off.
A gigantic sculpture of a hand flipping her off.
And it faces her house. I'm thinking, wow, he really needs to work on his resentment. He needs to go to a resentment meeting.
I think it's awesome.
Sir, you have issues.
Yes, he does. And his ex-wife thinks it's hilarious. She's like...
I think it's hilarious, too. How come I never thought of that?
We don't live next door to any of our exes.
Okay. Yeah, I guess that would do it.
Yes. Okay. And that, my excellent friends, is the end of the boozy news.
The New Way Foundation Victory House Aware Program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the New Way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101, clean and sober, internet radio. Yeah.
We're back.
Shout out
to the New Way Foundation
and Sober College
at
selfwillhappens.com.
Stockholm!
Yes.
Sweet. That's awesome. Mark?
Yes.
We have a topic.
We do.
This is after our 347-minute break, which you guys don't know we took, but we did.
We started this break yesterday, it feels like.
Yeah.
So, the topic is our support group.
Okay.
Those people besides our sponsor that we look to, that we go to when we're having issues or problems.
Yeah, see, when you first told this to me, the first thing I thought of is when I go to people, my sponsor is probably the first person I go to.
Yeah.
But certainly, mm-hmm. spouses, girlfriends, boyfriends, best friends. Mm-hmm. Is that what you were talking about? Those type of sometimes type of bosses?
Or those one or two people in meetings.
Right. Good friends.
Good friends, yeah.
You're not my sponsor, but I would go to you.
The foxhole people.
Foxhole people.
Yeah.
You know what? That would be a great name, but I think that would be a great name for the show.
Yeah.
But I think a support group is better, more people. It sounds more recovery friendly.
Sounds more recovery-like.
What do you think, Shelley?
I don't know. I like the topic foxhole friends. I don't know.
It sounds so much like Fox and Friends will get all our left-wing people.
Yeah, yeah, they'll be like, oh, Fox and Friends. Ah, you guys are talking Republican.
Okay, well, whatevs. What was the question?
MSNBC friends. We're going to play both sides of the court here.
Actually, I have a couple of those. One of them actually doesn't live in California anymore. The other one does. And when I was about to, I'd put off dropping my fifth. We've discussed that on shows before. And my sponsor, I was about to lose it. I mean, I was in pain, physical pain. I'd made myself physically sick putting this off, putting my sponsor off. And she finally said, and I said, I can't do this anymore. I'm just going to drink or whatever. She said, okay, you're all done putting me off now. We can't postpone this any longer. We're going to do your fifth. And but she was not available till the next morning. And I had – well, she actually called two of my good friends, Margaret and Rhonda. And they took me to Starbucks, and Rhonda took me on some errands, which was an interesting experience because Rhonda does errands like a bumblebee, biz, 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 all different places. Basically babysat me all day, you know. And to this day, still, if I needed to call, I'd call Rhonda if I couldn't get a hold of my sponsor. You know, I know that there's a support network, and the thing is that for me, actually, I think not that I would tell anybody anything, but if I just needed to be around somebody in recovery, it wouldn't matter what meeting I went to, because all I have to say is my name is Shelley and I'm an alcoholic, and everybody in the room knows what I mean. They all understand.
Right.
That doesn't mean I'm going to be, you know, dropping huge secrets on a lot of people, but for my own personal comfort level, if I have to, there are, you know, I have a meeting that actually, I called it my foxhole meeting, the 5 o'clock happy hour meeting. at the club over here. It's not my favorite meeting by any means, but if I was desperate, I would go just to sit in a room with other alcoholics so that I could be comfortable for an hour.
Hmm.
You know? Okay. That's part of my support network. People I don't even really know, but I know that they know me.
Yeah. Well, I have a number of Mark would be a person who does not sponsor me that I would go to with a variety pack of things. There are some sponsees of mine that I've always kind of come along to the fact that sometimes your sponsees sponsor you in a certain degree. You know, they make you think about things
without a doubt
that you when I'm giving someone direction, mm-hmm. all of a sudden I'm like, oh shit!
I should
be doing that, you know. So you know, in that respect, I'm telling a sponsee something, and I know it's something that I should be doing. But there's a number of sponsees that I would talk to like that. Certainly, you know, my sponsor is probably the first person I go to. But it also depends if they're available. Right. Shelley would be someone I would talk to. When I've got a big issue. My friend James, that was just here a minute ago, I've talked to James about many things. I've known him since I picked him up off his lawn when he was 17 years old. He's going to have 24 years in June. There's a number of people like that. There have been people in the past. I used to talk to my brother about things sometimes. You know, he's passed on now. About certain things. Like if I had trouble in within the family group, he would be, unless it was him, you know, then I didn't talk to him about it so much. And then again, my parents, you know, I've always talked to my mom and in the past my dad about things. A number of foxhole people like that. How about you, Mark?
Yeah, you know, this came up for me after, because I shared a while back ago, my sponsor passed away. So I needed to find a new sponsor.
Yes. Did you?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, I got a new sponsor, and, you know.
Mark never talks to me about anything. I don't know.
Yeah, all right. So, well, yeah. Actually, you know what it is? I talked to him about it, and he just doesn't remember.
Yeah, well, I have CRS.
Yeah, so.
Can't remember shit.
So, you know, and I was just looking at those people. You know, there's those few people. Like I said, you're one of them. My buddy TJ. There's
your
three.
Your buddy Ken?
Yeah. Yeah. That I turn to, and then I'll go talk to things because I'm very conscious in meetings about being careful what I share in the rooms.
Don't throw up on the meeting?
Well, don't throw up on the meeting, but also you can't share stuff in the meetings because I'm reasonably certain that some stuff that I would share is not stuff I really want to have out in the community or in the world.
And anything shared in a meeting could end
open,
up.
It's open season.
Yeah.
So that's just how it came up. Just, you know, who are those people and identifying them, who they are, so that I know who's that person you call after your sponsor's voicemail takes your message.
Yeah. Well, and there are certain people that I might talk to about certain things. Mm-hmm. That I might not talk to other people about. It depends. Probably the people that have known me the longest are the ones that I would most likely dump almost anything on, mm-hmm. like in the way that I would do it with my sponsor. There's other people that I would talk to, you know, like my mom. I'm not going to talk to her much about program stuff, really, because, A, she won't know the people and this and that. So I'm selective about who I talk to what issue about. How about you, Shelley?
You're on my cord.
I'm on her umbilical cord.
I was very selective about who I talked to things about, but the reality for me right now is that I don't really have a lot of big deals that don't end up on Facebook anyway. I don't have anything that's so serious that I can't joke about it on Facebook. And anything that is that serious, I end up talking to Bruce or my sponsor, maybe mm-hmm. my mom if it's something family-oriented, but it's fairly small.
Yeah.
Circle. But, you know, something you just said kind of struck a chord with me. You said that it's open season in the meetings, like when you shouldn't share about certain things in mm-hmm. meetings. You know, and it's not supposed to be that way.
No, but it is.
I know. But when I was a kid and I'd sit in on AA meetings, it was I didn't know anything that was going on. If I sat in on the meeting, that was the only time I ever heard about anything like that. It used to be that people in the meetings understood that, as they say in the book, that they're there on a life and death errand.
What did they say, Shelley, the one meeting you said? What says here?
Yeah, who you see here, what you hear here, when you leave here, let it stay here.
Here, here.
And I've been at coffee when I will be repeating something someone else said, but I make it very clear that they said it in the parking lot or that I didn't hear it in a meeting. Mm-hmm. Because I try really hard to make sure that I'm not saying who I saw there or anything like that. But we've got so many people in the meetings now, especially young people. I hate to bag on young people, but it's a game to them. This is not a life and death errand. They have no sense of their own mortality, and this is no big deal. So they go around and talk about it. And that's why that ends up happening. You know, I had a sponsee call me recently, very upset, because someone that they had every right to trust talked about some personal stuff with other people, and it got around to a group. And she was justifiably outraged, and I didn't know what to tell her. You know, keep your circle small if you're going to talk about stuff like that. But then again, you know, she was in a position where that was the small circle.
Maybe we should sacrifice a newcomer every month at a meeting just so they
understand it's a life and death.
You know,
the Hunger Games of AA.
Yeah.
On the flip side of that, I remember when I was so new, I wasn't even in this last time of sobriety, and I remember a guy sharing at a meeting, and he had a lot of time. This guy had like 45 years or something. He was a real old guy, and he goes, you know what? He goes, I'm going to say things when I'm speaking that you're going to go, why is this guy even admitting this? And he goes, you know what? He goes, there's nothing that I can share anymore that has any power over me. He talked about sharing about killing a guy when he was riding the rails. He was in a boxcar, and he and a guy were fighting over a bottle of wine, and he threw the guy out the window. And, of course, he goes, now a lot of people are wondering how I know that I killed this guy. He goes, well, we were on a train trestle. And he goes, this guy probably fell 250 feet. And he goes, and I can share that today because that doesn't have any power over me, and that kind of story may help someone new in the program. And I remember hearing that going, God, I would never admit that in a meeting. But like you said, back then,
yeah.
Although, I got to tell you, I must have heard that story around the club 100 times. Oh, you should have heard this guy. Dude, he threw a guy up a trestle for a bottle. Well, who is this guy? He's got 45 years old. Really? You know, and it was almost like people talking about that, it almost carried this guy's message further than where his message would have been in that one meeting. But like he said, for him and for him alone, it didn't have any – the things he would share, anything about his past didn't have any power over him today. Because you know when you share about inventory with your sponsor and it's, oh, it's big, it's bad, it's this, and then you find out later on, I share about things in my share – that may have been things on my inventory because then it was so horribly bad and now it's not. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
That's all right, you didn't. But now I forgot what I was going to say anyway. Oh, no, I remember what I was going to say. Yes, but there are times in meetings when I think the three operative words in terms of what you should and shouldn't share, the three operative words should be statute of limitations.
True.
Point.
I'm just saying, because some things that you share with your sponsor may not be things that – what is it say in the book about the guy who owed his wife money and he couldn't do her any good if he was in jail?
Right.
Maybe you've done something that would put you in jail for a while. Doesn't help or harm anyone if you're not in jail, but it's not going to get any food on the table if you are. You know what I mean? It's not – you're not right. Like wanted on a 7-state killing spree.
When you said the three words, I thought it was going to be use foxhole friends. For those things. What do you think, Mark?
Don't lead
with
the chin.
With caution.
Don't lead with the chin.
Yeah. That's exactly it. Don't lead with the chin.
I love that line in the Big Book. You going up and telling someone, hey, I did. You know, it's kind of like the, you know, hey, I did your wife.
Yeah, sorry.
We would call that leading with the chin. Yeah. And we would call that
impressive
cleaning
heroics.
Your side of the street while burning down their side of the street.
That's right.
And that's the kind of thing that Foxhole Friends are good for. Mm-hmm. I kind of like the Foxhole Friends thing. I'm not sure if people will understand from seeing it. Support group might be better, but I don't know. So, Shelley, what would your final words be on your support group?
Find a small group of people you trust. Hang on to them. Don't let go. Cultivate those relationships because those are the people you're going to need later on when things go south and you're in trouble. And you can use that small circle as a leaping off point to leapfrog around to carry the message to other people because you always know that you have someplace to go back to if you need to get centered.
Awesome. Mark, what would your final words be?
Don't forget that that guy you'd want to have jump in a foxhole with you, that means you have his back too.
True.
I don't really have any good final words for this.
Okay.
So I'm gonna.
You're gonna go to your default.
No, oh, okay. I'm not gonna go to the default. But I don't have like a one liner thing that's gonna work real good. So I would just say, you know what? There used to be the thing of, you know, keep your friends close and your enemies closer. Mm-hmm. Not in this case. Keep your friends close. Enemies be damned.
No, pray for your enemies.
Okay.
Program thing to do. Yes, and my prayer usually goes something like this: God, give that person everything they deserve.
It's like when my son asked me if I pray for his mommy to go to heaven. I told him yes tomorrow.
Oh, geez.
No, you know what? I remember when my sponsor at the time when I divorced, my sponsor said, "I want you to pray for your ex-wife." I said, I'm going to pray she gets exactly what she deserves. And he goes, no, you're going to pray that God gives her exactly what he wants her to have. And I'm like, that doesn't sound very good. He said, well, that's the way it's going to be. Shelley?
God wanted her to have me. He's really not too forgiving of her.
Yeah. Shelley, who is our friend back east?
That would be Bruce.
The other white meat.
He runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com. You can read his fine publication online. You can have it emailed to you, or you can subscribe, and he will send it to you in the post. You can also inquire about franchise opportunities so that you can bring the 12-Step Gazette to your town.
Awesome. Mark.
Yes.
We got people listening.
And we appreciate that.
Yes, we do.
We ask that you go to recovery101.net, which is our site. No matter how you listen to the show, even if you've listened by some other method, we do ask that you go to the site and check in, and you can like shows. You could sign up to follow us, in which case you'll get automatic updates of new shows. You can leave comments, and you can add us to your playlists.
Absolutely. Also, I believe if you just go there now to recovery101.net, one of the things that we'll ask you when you first land at the Podomatic site is, do you want to sign in with Facebook? And if you choose to do that and your information is saved in your Facebook account, you can, like, click a button and all of a sudden you're a member. And I got to tell people about Podomatic as well. There's all kinds of cool shows on there. You know, you're listening to a recovery show. You like the recovery show. You know what? If you like coin collecting, there's probably a coin collecting pod. There's a lot of other things. So, you know, don't necessarily dog other shows. I think it would be worth it to you to be a sign in on your Facebook just for the opportunity to listen to all kinds of different shows. There's a lot of music on there as well. You can join on Facebook if you're Facebook friendly. We'd like you to like the Recovery 101 radio page. Now on Facebook, if you click on, you see a link to our show, you click on it, it's going to take you to the recovery101.net page, at which time you can click sign in with Facebook. Also, if you want to remain anonymous in your recovery dealings on Facebook, you can join the Recovery 101 group, which is a closed group, so those things will not be available to others to see. We've got an email address at recovery101radio@gmail.com. And you can join the crack advertising staff at recovery101radiosales@gmail.com. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rules62.
Do not take yourself so damn seriously.
We sure don't. Shelly, who's the lead on music by?
Sean Van Domlin.
Sean Van Domlin from SleepyPilotMusic.com. Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it, and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.